You are listening to Country Life with Morgan O'Flaherty on Westermeck 102 FM.
How you doing, folks? You're very welcome to this week's episode of Country Life with Morgan O'Flaherty. You're tuned to Westermeck 102 FM. A massive, massive thank you again last week to Peter Love of Kelsley Publications, all part of Tractor Machinery and Ford and Fordson and Old Glory. These are all magazines, all tractor related magazines, for those of you that might know exactly what they are, but that's what they are. And Peter Love is one of the main, I suppose he's one of the main influencers, we'll call him, in the magazine. He's involved with that, and sure, look, that's what he does, and that's brilliant, fantastic. That's it. We put it up in a podcast. It's there for you to download or to listen to, and we'll talk more of the podcast at the end of the program. Now, this week I interviewed this man earlier on in the week. Fantastic, brilliant chap. Pat Conroy. Pat is from, he's from Limerick. He's I'm not exactly too sure. He tells us in the thing exactly where he's from. Pat has a couple of very, very interesting cars. He has a couple of limousines. There's a fantastic story behind some of them. For example, I think one of them was used in, it was used in the making of, on the making of, it was used when JFK was here. They were Irish built cars. It's a fantastic story. And do you know what? I suppose I've interviewed a good few people now on cars and on tractors and everything. But if you listen to Pat, listen to his story, listen to his voice, you can hear the passion he has for his limousines in the story. So Pat, fierce nice guy, brilliant. And here's what Pat had to say to me. Like I said, I spoke to Pat earlier on. Pat, how are you doing?
How you going, Morgan?
Not so bad. Pat Conroy, your address, Pat, you're originally Kilmallock, is it?
Kilmallock, now we're in, yeah.
Pat, I suppose you have some fantastic cars, some very, very interesting cars, and even to go with them, you have even more interesting or more fantastic stories.
Aye.
Yeah. Pat, I suppose before we get into the cars and get into your own cars and everything, where did your love of these cars, first of all, folks, what he has is a couple of Chrysler limousines, but where did your love for this breed of car come from, Pat?
Well,
why not a Morris Minor, like?
No, that would be too straightforward. No, I've always been into the old American cars. There was a movie years ago called Christine, a Stephen King film.
Yeah.
And it was a 1958 Plymouth. So I was on the lookout for something like that. I've done Jags and Cortinas before. These aren't exactly everywhere in Ireland. So I knew there was a few here that were made into hearses. So that was where I started looking. Those undertakers and chasing up those leads.
Brilliant.
So I found one in 1919, Patrick's Well. A fellow called Colin Williams. You might have heard of Stanley Williams.
Yes.
Stanley and Colin. And it's Colin and Glenn, the sons. So I called them one Saturday morning in 1990. And we were talking about American cars. And he said, have you seen our Plymouth? So he led me around the back of the shed, and there is a 1959 Plymouth Belvedere hearse. That was the first one I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And I was looking for a project anyway, so we did a deal. I bought the car, and we pulled it out of there, dragged it away, and it wasn't even driving. It was the strangest looking car I'd ever seen. Huge.
Yeah.
So I rented a shed off a guy called Lean Chalk outside Rakeel, and we parked it in there. Now, the shed was just barely bigger than the car.
Yeah.
So I backed it in there and started pulling off all the hearse off it. It was mainly filler and 4x2. Pulled the hearse off it to reveal a boot shirt, four-door saloon. That somebody had gone out with a grinder.
Oh.
Yeah. So I started working the chassis and cleaning all the chassis and painting all the chassis, and I was on the lookout for a donor. And this is when a pink Plymouth limousine came up in Dublin at the time.
First of all, now, before anyone, when he says we're looking for a donor, for those that might know, he wasn't looking for a kidney, it was a donor car.
A donor car. I was looking for a roof section and a boot door. So I wanted to put the car back into a car.
Yeah.
And this pink one came up in Dublin, used the number. It was famous for being parked outside a nightclub called Crazy Joe's.
Right.
In RTN. And Crazy Joe's was written on the side of the car. So I went up to Dublin in 1990. I bought this limousine. Now, this is 2 foot longer than my own car. I brought it on home and I couldn't cut the roof off this. It was in really good nick.
Yeah.
The inside was tan leather. It was driving perfect and it was left-hand drive. Now, my hearse is WII 609, an original Dublin Reg, and it's right-hand drive.
Brilliant.
The one I bought in Dublin was pink, and it was left-hand drive, one of the rare left-hand drives made here. So I sold it again.
Yeah.
So that was, I sold it on, and I swapped a few bits before I let it off.
Yeah.
And then next thing I know, I'm working away from home, I'm working in Trulia, I end up in Australia. And next thing I know, it's 2016, and the car, as far as I know, was gone. I hadn't talked to Liam Chalk, the guy who owned the shed. As far as I know, the car was scrapped or dumped somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I met Liam Chalk at a funeral in 2016. And I said to him, "Where? Whatever happened to the Plymouth in the shed?" And he said, "It's still there." and I said, "You built onto the shed. I could see the shed from the road, but I couldn't see into it." I said, "You built onto the shed." He says, "We built around it." And I said, "Is that my car, your car?" He goes, "You will see about that." Anyway, I arranged to see the car. So I went one Saturday to have a look at it. And it was gone. It was wrecked. All that was left was half a roof anyway. All the front was off the car that I had stripped off.
Yeah.
Parts were still there. The body had rotted completely now. The pillars were gone. The car had spread. The back left-hand wing had fallen down nearly.
Yeah.
Sills were gone, floor, no boot door, no boot floor. Just a rat's nest, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I'm back to Liam and I said to Liam, "Look, there's only one fellow who wants that car, and that's me." So we made it, we did a deal, and I took away the car over here to Kilmarnock. This is 2016.
Yeah.
So that's where she sat there for a couple of years, and I'm looking at this side thing in the shed and thinking, I can't do much with this because I can't find parts for it.
Yeah.
And so sitting there for 2 years. Now I put the front back on it so it looked a bit better. And a guy rings me one day and he says, "There's a car the same as yours on Facebook." And now this could be easily mistaken for a Chevy or a Buick or anything. So I went down to Limerick Classic Car Club.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of a 1959 Plymouth limousine in a shed. WII 542. Now, very close range to mine.
Yes.
And it looked fairly good. So I got onto the Facebook page, Limerick Classic Car Club, to find out that the guy who runs it is Colin Williams, the guy I bought my car off 26 years before. Okay?
Yeah.
And I said, we reunited again. I was talking to Colin, and I said, "Where's the car?" And he said, "That picture was taken in Galway and Tuam about 1992. I said, "Have you any more information?" He said, "It's belonged to a guy called Frank Parson. He owns a Toyota dealer." So that's all I had.
Yeah.
Okay. So I rang the Toyota garage, which is still going. And I finally got through to a guy called Frank Parson. He's retired now. And cut a long story short, he actually let me see the car one Saturday. And the guy who brought me up to the shed, he opened the door and he said, "There's the car." I said, "Where?" He said, "There." I said, "Where?" And all I could see was a massive pile of junk. Timber, a shower, toilets, pallets, floorboards.
Yeah.
And inside under it all, I could see a bit of chrome off the back window of a 1959 Plymouth. So I said to the guy, "I'm going to have to dig this up." And he left me there for 2 hours and he went away. So I start digging out this this limousine to reveal every bit of chrome was on it, the hubcaps on it, the body was straight as a pin. I finally got a door open, and that's when I realized that the inside of this is red leather. Now, none of the cars I know of ever had red leather, except right. this one. Door cars, the whole, I was mint. And the bonnet, under the bonnet, was a Toyota 2.6 Toyota Crown engine that somebody had put in, but it looks like it never finished.
Yeah.
So I knew I wanted the car, and this could never be a donor either. This was really good condition.
Yeah.
So I did a deal with Frank to take away the car. So we agreed, and I got it home. And I washed it on a Saturday afternoon, the day I got it home. And it looks really good now. It looked really good. And on the Monday, I poured petrol down and threw it, stuck a battery in it, and it started.
Oh, my God.
And I took it for a drive, and the brakes were working. It was just the bizarrest car I've ever found. It really let me have it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but the thing about this car, there's one downfall. It came with no logbook. And I got onto the tax office in Limerick. They said, you're going to have to ZV the car because it's not coming up on the computer.
Yeah.
Computer says no. And I got onto Shannon. They said the same thing. And then I got onto a contact in Dublin where it was first registered. And I explained that I have two 1959 Plymouths, both right-hand drive, both WYI Regis. And they said, no, you're going to have to ZV the car. I said, I can't do that. You can't do that to this car.
Yeah.
So I got into our local guy, our local councillor at the time, Richard O'Donoghue, who organises all the vintage rallies for charity. So I told my story to Richard, and he says, leave it with me. So he got onto somebody in Dublin and basically told him, get off the arse, go back and open the cabinet and find the paperwork for this car.
Yeah.
And give the man the logbook, because this is part of Irish history. These were state cars. These were embassy cars at the time, State Department.
All right, okay,
So I got a phone call a couple of days later saying, be in Limerick at 12 o'clock tomorrow. There's a logbook ready for you.
My God.
So anyway. Yeah. This car is back on the road within a couple of months, and it really cleaned up well. Now, it took a bit of work to get her really clean, but she's going and perfect.
Fantastic.
And I took this to a rally one day in Charleville, and a guy comes up to me, an old fella, and he said, did you buy that car Frank Parson, Galway? I said, I did. He said, that car came from Dublin, and that was in the JFK cavalcade in 1963.
When JFK came to Ireland?
JFK was here in 63 and did a tour.
Yeah.
And so I've been looking for stuff on YouTube, and I can see three times a 59 Plymouth limousine.
Yeah.
Now, I can't prove it. Now, a picture did come up, thanks to our friend Dave Curran.
Yes.
Of a Plymouth with a clear edge, which is not mine. So I still can't prove whether my car was in that parade or not. So, but given that it was a red interior car, very rare, it could have been an American embassy car, which would have made sense.
It would have made a lot of sense, yeah, absolutely. And I suppose, I'm going to ask you probably an obvious question now, but did you try and get onto the American embassy?
Yeah, I went down to all those roads, didn't find anything. I did go down the Freedom of Information Act because I got no information on my new logbook. And it turns out that my car was at one time owned by a funeral directors. And they owned another one of my Plymouths. Anyway, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got. But they did. They were involved in the JFK parade at that time.
Oh, yeah, brilliant.
So it's possible. It's possible. Now, since I just got on the road, I took it to a vintage... And I was taking it to all the shows, and I met Tom Heavey one day from the Irish Vintage magazine.
Yes.
Irish Vintage Scene magazine. And I said, can I take out an ad in the paper to find out more about my car? And he said, no, we'll do a feature on it. So next thing I know, my limousine is on the front cover of the Irish Vintage magazine in 2019. So we didn't get any more information about that since, and I'm still looking. But at least she's been pretty famous so far. Now, going back to our friend Richard, when Richard Dunne asked me, sorry, when I asked him, to look after me with the logbook.
Yeah.
And he looked after me very well. And I said, is there any way I can return a favour?
Yeah.
He said, if I ever get voted into the Dáil, you can take me into the Dáil in it. I goes, yeah, right. So between here and there, there's been an election. This guy gets voted into the Dáil. And I meet Richard, and I say to him, listen, mate, are you still on for that? Do you still want me to do that? He goes, yeah, absolutely. So, right.
So you're heading to Dublin now.
So he said, I said, when is it? He goes, Thursday. This is about 5 days in front of you. I went, Jesus. So this was last February, last year. So I had the 5 days off, and I got the car ready to go to Dublin.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So I fixed it all up as best I could, and I had really, really good overhaul. And Richard rings me the night before, and he says, we have to be in Dublin. We're supposed to be in Dublin for 10:30 in the Dáil. But they're ringing me now and they're saying, I have to be there for 9 o'clock. I said, that's okay. I'll just leave in the middle of the night now.
Yeah.
And I'll pick you up in Houston Station. That was the plan. So I hit off up the road and in the middle of the night, pissing rain, and with a car with 19 foot 4 long, no power steering. And lights weren't great now, but look, it's not up the Dublin Road.
It is what it is.
And I'm in touch with Richard all the way up. He's on the train. Heading for Houston, I'm heading for Houston as well. So at 8:30 in the morning, I'm supposed to meet him in Houston. And I'm going in the nearest dual carriageway and this thing, and rush on. At 8:30 in the morning, 5 minutes away from Richard. And we stop at traffic lights and the car cuts out. Right? Now it's an automatic, so that normally wouldn't happen anyway.
Yeah.
Do you think it would start? No.
Yeah.
So she wouldn't start. I'm sitting there with the Lewis line outside my elbow. I'm holding up the whole place, Dublin.
Yeah.
And I ring Richard and say, Richard, she cut out. Dead here in the water, I'm dead. Listen, I'll head away over. He said, we're not supposed to be there at 10:30 anyway. I'll head away over and do my business, he said. So let me know how you get on.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there for an hour and I can't get this thing started. She won't fire. So I'm trying to get on to the breakdown crew and this guy pulls up beside me in a breakdown van and he said, are you in trouble? I goes, yeah, I'm in trouble. So
yeah,
he gets out.
Yeah, yeah.
He gives me a jump start and he says, your car's charging but not enough. It's only charging enough to put the light out. No, I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
So we got her going. I wound up the carburetor a bit higher on the idle. Now I headed for the Dáil here. This is 10 o'clock in the morning now.
Yeah.
I head across the city centre. And, I've been moving it through all the streets, and I finally get to the Dáil. So I park down the road, and I let Richard know that I'm there. And the paparazzi above the gate. So Richard says, right, we're on. I'll come out. And Richard came out and he got into the car, and all the cameras were there up at the gate. So he says, right, we'll go in. So I drove up the road. I had to swing this thing out in the road, you see, to get in the gates of the Dáil, because it's...
3 lanes, yeah.
Well, I took up the other side as well, and I swung it around, and you know, the paparazzi jumped around the car, and all the news crews, everything, RTE, the whole lot, and they surround the car. Now, the arse of this thing sticking out in the road, and there's all the buses are stopped outside, and there's nothing they can do about it, like...
Anyway, no.
We go in and go through the cameras, and they drop the barrier inside, I drive in... Richard gets out and he does his spiel with the car and stuff because of the history side of it. And the security guy comes over afterwards and goes, there's no place left to park in here.
You're right. I need about three spaces.
What do you want me to do? I said. He says, you're going to have to park up there where the t-shirt parks.
Oh.
I go, that's fine with me. Lift the rope.
Yeah.
He lifts the rope and he pounds right and turns it off. Anyway, a couple of hours pass and they do their thing and they all go inside. And I jump into the car to go, but sure it won't start now for me. And the security guy, he said to get a jump start to come in and start up the limo.
Oh my God.
And once I had it started up, I didn't turn it off till I got to Limerick.
Brilliant.
Got it in here in the air and turned it off, yeah. So we got it home in one go.
Absolutely fantastic story. Fantastic.
Right. Bad story. Bad story.
Tell me,
Yeah.
Pat, if we can for 1 second, we'll just
Yeah.
go to a quick ad break and
Absolutely, yeah.
we'll come back to you. If you can stay with us and we'll talk some more.
Maybe. Okay.
Thanks, Pat. As you're tuned to West Limerick 102 FM, I'm your host, Morgan O'Flaherty with Country Life. And we're talking to Pat Conroy about his limousines, I suppose, Chrysler limousines. And now. Hello, folks, you're very welcome back. Morgan O'Flaherty here with Country Life. On the phone with us this morning, we have Pat Conroy from Kilmallock. Pat has a fantastic, I suppose, a range or a fantastic display of Chrysler limousines and Chrysler cars. Pat, you were telling us there before the ad break, one of your cars was or is a hearse. Now, you sent me a few pictures, but I think you've done a bit of, I suppose, a renovation or a bit of, a downsizing to it, really.
Well, yes. As I say, this was bought in 1990. I bought it in 1990 and I picked it up again in 2016. And this is still sitting. This was sitting in the shade all this time.
Oh, this
here.
Is still. This is still the same car. Oh, I thought you got rid of that one because it was too rusty. You still kept it.
Oh no, it's bad. It was really, really bad. And it was sitting in the shade here while I'm out driving the limo around. It was getting jealous nearly.
Yeah.
I still couldn't find a roof for it, and I couldn't get the roof off my good limo.
No.
So another night, I'm sitting looking on Facebook, right, and there was a Facebook site called Sitting There Rotting on a Driveway, and it was a black Plymouth limousine, a 59 one, sitting in a yard between two sheds, and it looked right sorry for itself now, but it had a big pink patch on the wing.
Right.
And I zoomed in on the picture, and it was actually my pink one, used C723, the one I had bought in the 90s and sold
yes.
off again. So there's my car now, sitting somewhere, I don't know where, probably Ireland, and just thrown there, covered in green shit stuff. And so I got onto that Facebook page, and they couldn't tell me anything more than they just got sent in the picture.
Yeah.
So I got that picture, and I put it on our own site here in Ireland. Irish vehicle registrations, past and present, is probably the most active of all classic cars here in the country.
Yeah.
So I put it out there saying, does anybody know what this car is? It used to be mine. I'd like to get my hands on it again. And a guy comes back to me, sends me a message saying, I know where your car is. It's in Lisburn. And he gave me the address. But he said, there's nobody living there. They're just sheds. And
yeah.
He was delivering in there in a truck. So I Google map the address. So I go on a satellite image, and I zoom in on the sheds, and I can see the car on Google Maps. I can see the pink patch on the wing and the angle of the walls where it's parked. So this is all I have now. I knew I couldn't drive up there because I couldn't find anyone to talk to them.
Yeah.
So in Google Maps, I come out the road in Google Maps, and I go over a bit, and there's a tractor garage. And I got the phone number of the tractor garage from the street view.
The detective who should have been, Pat, the detective.
And I ring the tractor garage in Lisbon, and I'm telling this girl in the office my story.
I can just see her face, and she's rolling the eyes up, and she's thinking, oh my God, like.
What's this fella after? Anyway, by any chance would any of the lads in the garage know about the American car parked in the sheds over the road and down in the passage?
Yeah.
She rings me back an hour later. She says, his name is Arnie. She gave me his phone number.
Oh, my God.
So, look, to cut to the chase, I met Arnie. I went over, bought the camera home. Now, this is the pink one I had before. So, this is my second time buying this car.
Yeah.
Now, it's pretty bad. It was rough now, in fairness, but still fixable. But not as a limousine. I might do something else with it. So now I had my roof for my hearse.
Yes.
For my Belvedere. Now, the Belvedere is a normal rebase, you know. The limousines are stretched. So I bought this and I brought it home, and I started cutting the roof off it at the end of 2018.
Yeah.
And I fitted that roof onto my hearse car, but in a two-door position, not the four-door. I want to make a coupe out of it.
Yes.
So I started working on the floor, the sills, 2 sheets of steel gone into this car. I'm actually a welder by trade. Realigned the whole panels, refixed it to the chassis, the whole thing. The 12 pints where it sits on the chassis, all it'd be reinforced. Welded all the pillars, pulled it all back together and tightened it all up. The whole thing's solid now, real solid. But I had a problem with no engine. The engine that was in that hearse was a straight six side valve, if you know them.
Yeah.
They're not very good. So I think fate has a great role to play in all these things. I was in another funeral and I met a guy who, and I was telling him about my car, and he said, I was looking for an engine. And he said, what are you looking for? I think it may be a 4.2 Jag six cylinder. And he goes, well, I have a V12 Jag XJS that I'm not doing anything with. I goes, no, that's too big. And so I went away and I was thinking about that for a while. I think maybe I could, you know, maybe I could put the V12 into it.
Yeah.
So, you know, social media is pretty good for groups if you need to know anything. So
Correct.
I got onto my crowd in the States who were into the 57, 58, 59 Plymouths, and I put it out there saying, has anybody ever put a V12 into a 1959 Plymouth before? And mainly they told me, stop talking like that. And one fella said, just go away now and set fire to yourself, it'll be easier.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere in the world had put a V10 Dodge Viper engine into one of them. So that was enough for me anyway. I said, I'll do it, you know.
Cause yeah, so what's another two cylinders?
Yeah, if it hadn't been done, surely there's a way. Surely it's a man-made thing. So we went off and bought this XJS 1978 Jag, rotten to the core. It was running, brought it home. Jacked it up and the jack went up through it.
Oh my God.
Stone rotten. But finally cut open the car, pulled out the V12 5.3 and I measured it up. Now there's no way this fit inside my car. So I had to cut the bulkhead of the Plymouth. We had to cut the front cross member to get the radiator move forward. We had to cut up the entire floor pan and raise the tunnel for it to go in underneath the car, the gearbox.
Yeah.
And I have a friend of mine, P.O. McCarthy, he gives me a hand. A great man. Finally got this thing in place, did all the mountings, got her in.
Yeah.
And fired it up. And it looked like the head gasket was gone. It was just boiling over, and I had a lot of work done at this point. But the XJSs are like nothing else. If you don't have thermostats inside these, they won't run.
Right, yes.
So I had to put proper Jag thermostats in. And it started running okay, but endless problems with it. Name something in an engine that had to be replaced. I had to do it in this car. Everything. Fuel pump, the electronic ignition, coil, the list is all of it. Even the brain had to be opened up and cleaned out. The whole ECU had to go in as well. So, months of this aggravation and torment, and I finally got her going. Finally got her driving. Only to find out that the gearbox was totally trashed inside.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So,
I presume this is still the XJS gearbox as well.
Yes. Yeah, the transmission, yeah. Yeah. So, I had gone too far into the project to stop now. So, I had to get a gearbox from the UK, reconditioned. And but I couldn't take out the gearbox that was in it because it was fitted into the car to suit, and I couldn't take out the V12 again. It was just too big a job.
Yeah.
So it cut open the floor of the car.
Oh, lad. I feel you. I can feel your pain, Pat.
To get out the gearbox, to open the car up, got it out, put in the new one, and we got her going, put her back on the ground, and this car, I can tell you, took off like an airplane.
Yeah.
The front of the car lift off the ground, Ellie, is so powerful. Not that I drive it like that.
Yeah, but still, like, it's nice to put down the shoe every now and then.
This is, it's very like a Spitfire airplane, the 12 cylinders when they fire up.
Yeah.
And it's like a turbine. The rev range, when you rev it, there's no turbo lag, there's nothing like that. It's just sheer grunt and torque and power.
Yeah. Oh my God. How did you wind the back axle off of it?
See, that's one of the problems I had as well, is the Jag back axle is designed to take the power. It's got a limited slip diff.
Yeah.
I used the Plymouth back axle, so there is a fear you could break the diff. You know, if you give it too much.
Yeah, too much to give it too much welting.
Yeah. But he is up in the belly.
Yeah.
No, it's a cruiser. It'll take speed all right, but not too much.
Yeah, but you know, but body, it's just comfort. And do you know what? The sound of it. Now, you sent me a picture of that engine inside in the car. And folks, if you haven't seen it, like, you know, it's, oh my God, it's just fantastic. It looks the part. I still don't know how you got it in there.
I
don't know how it... I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it'd be trying to, I suppose, filling a Coke bottle with marbles and trying to take them all out in one go without taking off the cover. It's just, well, I definitely hope the starter or the alternator or nothing will ever go on it, because it would definitely take a child's hands to get down, to get at part of the season, like.
It's not as bad as the Jag. The Jag was worse, all right, in fairness. Well, but Pat, having said that,
I don't know what you'd have for the Jag, so, because I've seen pictures of this thing, and there is no room. There's nothing in it.
Well, having said that, now, we had to re-engineer the engine too. The power steering pump had to come off and throw it away.
What did you want that for, like?
No, they had to go because I had no power steering in the car anyway. The viscous fan had to go. All it had to be removed to another location because I had to cut the pulleys off the front of the engine. So I had to move them back because there's a ring of pulleys on the front. So I have two electric fans in the front to keep the engine cool. All cowled into itself to rig up the oil cooler out to the front of the car, redesign the front valance in the car to drop it down, fit the oil cooler. Very complicated machine.
Pat, come here. I never saw your car in person, right? Folks, I had nothing to do with the restoration of Pat's car. I spoke to Pat for the first time about a week ago. But Pat, this car was giving me a headache. It really is, like. Come on, you need to cut the pulleys off of it. this car is giving me a headache, Pat.
Oh, I love it. Oh, God.
Have you any other hobbies? Do you like jigsaws or something, Pat?
I make my own jigsaws.
Yeah, out of Chrysler's Jaguar engines. Oh, God almighty. Oh, my God. It's all fun.
Oh, look, there's two exhaust pipes coming out of the engine, two manifolds, which run back. Now I have two silencers on one each side, but I ran back the pipes to the back, and I brought out four 2.5-inch diameter stainless steel exhausts on the back. So when you go down a city or a town, the windows in the shops vibrate with the noise of this thing. It's not incredibly noisy, it's just this hum.
Yeah.
It reverberates in siding between buildings.
So
it is a ferocious car to see. It's got a real personality now, this thing.
Pat, if you don't mind, I must go away and get a drink of water after that, and we'll take a quick ad break, folks. Pat, if you could stay with us for a few more minutes.
Independent
dog, thanks, Pat. You're tuned to West Limerick 102 FM and Morgan O'Flaherty with Country Life. We're talking to, I don't really call him Pat Conroy or Pat the Jigsaw Man. We'll be back after this. Thanks, Pat.